Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you guys so much for joining us for yet another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And pumped to be here today. The interview, one of you was kind enough on Twitter to say, don't apologize for mix-ups on interviews. Well, thank you. You're very kind and gracious. Second of all, when I'm complaining about it, I'm bummed out about it too. I see, guys, I don't assume that everybody just wants to listen to me talk. and most of you are gracious and kind enough to sit there and go, no, we like it. Well, thank you. But no, I'm bummed out because, you know, I want to have these interviews too, because one of the things I love about doing the show, it gives us a platform to talk to where other people want to get out and get their message out too. And so it gives me that ability to talk to other people who I think are really smart and have things to teach both of us. Because if you guys haven't known in these interviews, somebody told me once ago, you know, Zach, you're pretty good at interviewing. And again, I'm sure there are people that don't think I'm good at interviewing. So I manage money for a living, so that tells you what I think. Okay, so I just do the interviews from the point of coming at it. What am I curious about? What do I want to pick this person's brain about? And I learn from it. And like I've said before, if you're managing money or you're in this business and you're not learning, you're not winning, because you should be learning all the time, because there's always somebody that knows something you don't. And, you know, humility is the beginning of knowledge, right? And, you know, I'm sure there are times where I'm not as humble as I should be. And either life or parenthood or God himself usually takes care of that lack of humility in one way or the other. And so it's something that I think about all the time is, you know, staying limber, staying teachable. You know, because this in this crazy world, like you guys know that have been listening to me for a while, there's things going on that nobody's ever seen before. And so, you know, I think we've had a pretty good track record of flagging these things and calling them and reading the cards correctly. But I do it with the knowledge of that can flip at any moment because you've just never been through this before. There's no historical comps. And that's why I like to have these guys on, is get other smart people on that are looking at things from a different angle that can illuminate some things to me that I haven't thought of before. And that's happened countless times in the interviews. I mean, I hope you guys can hear it. You know, it's not just us sitting around going, well, we're both really smart money managers and have a conversation that makes us both sound smart. I get taught things all the time. We were interviewing Stephen Miron last week or the week before, and I was saying that I thought the Fed should have hiked. He said that he thought the Fed shouldn't have hiked, but promised a 75 to 100 basis points hike in April if things didn't calm down. And I sat there and I went, that's a better idea. Right? That's something I hadn't thought of before. I think you're right. And I actually like your idea better than mine. you know, we have a saying here at the firm. We don't have to get it right. We just got to find the guy that did. Right? Meaning whether we make money off an original idea that we had or whether it's off an idea that somebody else had, I don't care. Right? Our job is not to come up with the best strategy. Our job is to find it. And so that's why we do the interviews. And that's why I'm bummed out when they fall through. And this one got delayed again. This was actually a funny one. We were supposed to have Harris Cuppy on the show. Cuppy, you know, very, very smart guy, very good investor. And he contacted me this morning apologizing. He's like, Zach, when I booked this, I totally forgot it was my wife's birthday. So I responded, dude, no problem. I get it. So we'll give Cuppy a pass. He's been on. He's a good friend of the show. And he promised. He's like, any day next week, man, I'm really, really sorry. But told my wife we had an interview, and he goes, I got the look. And I went, dude, I get it. Don't sweat it. So anyway, so we had to bump him to next week, but obviously still plenty to talk to. So hopefully you're not just here for the interview and you want to have a chat with me as well. So anyway, first of all, also, I'm recording this on Friday. Happy Good Friday. Happy Easter to everybody. I don't talk it a lot about it on the show because, as I said to you before, my faith is personal to me and I never want it to be used as an advertisement. But this is a big day for me, or big day and big weekend for my family. The cornerstone of our lives is Jesus Christ. And this is a big weekend in that for us. So, and God bless all of you out there too. Wish you a wonderful Easter weekend. Wait, no, Good Friday. I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting it mixed up. Easter weekend. Good Friday, Easter weekend. Sorry, my head's in a blur. We're leaving for Palm Springs for spring break tomorrow morning with the kids. My mind's in a bit of a blender. So anyway, happy Easter. All right, so let's get into the market update. And I want to first talk about what's going on in markets. As you can see, or if you've noticed, and I hope you do because I think it's the right thing to get, all of a sudden this market kind of got more serene, right? Kind of more flat. And it kind of feels like some of the insanity is abating. I don't think that that's what's happening. And this is where I want to get into looking at charts. What you're seeing right now is in my opinion, and looking at the charts, I think this is easy to back up. You're seeing a consolidation really across all indexes and all moving averages. And what I mean by that is if stocks stay in a range long enough, all the moving averages that we look at, so the 50-day moving average, and when you hear somebody say moving average, what they're talking about is over the last 50 days, if we look at the range the market is trading in, what's the average of that, right? If we look at the 100-day moving average, again, look at the range the market is trading at from top to bottom over the last 100 days, what is the average of that? Well, when you stay if you stay around the same level long enough, the 50-day, the 100-day, the 200-day moving averages, they all start converging. And when you see all indexes doing that at the same time, what it tells you is you have a consolidation, and usually the larger the consolidation, the bigger the move or the breakout is what we refer to it in the industry, right? The bigger the breakout is from those levels, either up or down, right? And so I think there's a lot of people on the bullish side that go, look at this consolidation, man. It's a bull market, bull flag consolidation. We're going to bust higher. hey, and that's certainly possible, right? It's one of the reasons that we take the approach that we do. We want to guard against the downside, but still be able to benefit from the upside moves. That's not the way we see it. First of all, the consolidation is really large. And in a market like this, I don't think it's something that you want to look past because the way – now, again, I could be wrong, but I'm just giving you my read. The way I look at it in this environment – is you guys know, I think the market is whistling past the graveyard. I think that we are in a recession. I think historically we'll go back and my feeling is historically, I think they'll look back at this period and say that the recession either started at the end of last year or, you know, middle to the end of the first quarter. That's kind of the way that I see it. Because those things always get adjusted backwards. Job openings weakened unexpectedly. That number's got a lot of noise in it. I don't really pay attention to that. Costco had a slight disappointment on, you know, I didn't read through the queue because we don't currently own the stock. So right now, obviously, I'm focused on companies that we own. but everything we see economically, guys, continues to show that, especially since the bank issues. You just see weakening across the complex, really in every place you look at. Okay. And so when I see a consolidation like that, I see all on all three indexes, right? I see consolidation trading in a tighter and tighter range, the moves getting smaller and smaller, all of the moving averages consolidating. We could always be wrong. What it looks like to me is that this market is gathering and consolidating to make a push lower. So, like I said, I could be wrong, but that's what it looks like to me. And that's kind of the dangerous part of all these things because these consolidation points always feel more safe because the volatility gets lower and lower. But really think about it as a coiling spring, right? The longer those consolidation periods last and the more they blend together, the tighter those 50-day and 200-day moving averages, it's like building up energy, right? And you're going to slingshot hard in one direction or the other. The reason I think that the odds are overwhelmingly to a downside move is if you get really good economic news, the Fed has to tighten even more. I just see an upside move here being very restricted at this point. As a matter of fact, I don't think you're going to see a lot of legs to the upside in this market until Fed loosening starts happening, right? So What it looks like to me is just we need to be very cautious here. It looks like there's going to be you've got energy gathering for a big move one way or the other. And I just think the path of least resistance is to the downside. The other thing we're looking at this week is U.S. equities still remain historically overheld, meaning the percentage of people or investors in the population, you know, the percentage of stocks they own in the portfolio, it's still very high. What it tells you is that you have not seen capitulation. You have not seen people throwing in the towel. Okay, so again, not the sky is falling, not anything. I think that this is sort of the calm before the storm, right? I think that the last couple months are kind of like us going through the eye of the storm. And I think Silicon Valley Bank issues were kind of us entering the other side here. And I would expect more fireworks here in the not too distant future. So technicals are telling a really interesting story. Now, again, does that mean we're all bared up? No, it's just a place where we're very little exposed, right? So like this week, market was down slightly. We were up slightly. That's kind of the way we're positioned, right? If markets go down significantly, we're basically positioned to either go up a little bit or stay flat. If markets go up aggressively, we'll probably go up a little, right? But I just look at this scenario, not trying to time it. Just this is a risk manager where you're just like, man, when I look at market prices, when I look at valuations, when I look at real estate, I'm not sitting there telling you everything's about ready to plunge. I think we're going lower, but what I'm saying as a risk manager is this is just not a great time to take chances, and we're not going to, right? We're going to batten down the hatches like we have been for the last 2.5, 3, 4 months, and we're going to collect our interest on our bonds. We're going to hold on to our favorite energy and dividend-paying stocks that are still producing income for us, but we're going to be very cautiously positioned. I just don't think this is a good spot to take chances. Let's see. Another interesting set of moves in commodity complex, right? Oil. Snapping back sharply. It tested that downside level that I told you guys where I didn't think in this environment oil could get below 60. So far, that has been the case. And we've bounced really hard off that 60 level. We got an OPEC cut. Okay, and this is one of the things that I was talking about. Everybody acts as if the oil markets, you know, are just constant. They're not. Okay, and if you thought that everybody in the world was going to keep pumping oil to help out Joe Biden, you got another thing coming. That's not the way this works, right? If Biden wants to flood the market with SPR, OPEC is going to respond. They're not going to sit there and just sell oil at 50 and 60 bucks a barrel, right? They need to get as much price. They need to get as much money for their oil as they can. So what they just do, they just cut production. On that day, our average energy stock was up 8 or 9%. Right. So now, do I think it's possible for oil to go lower than 60? Yes. And if anybody ever tells you that oil can't go below a certain level, you know, hey, we used to think that oil couldn't go below zero. Right. So we've seen it go negative 37. What does that tell you? It tells you that no matter who you're listening to predict the moves on a commodity like oil, including me, take it with a grain of salt. Could it go below? Yes, it can do whatever it wants. Okay. We're just saying that if it moved below 60, we don't think it can stay there for a really long time. It could be there for, especially if the recession gets really nasty. Okay, you could see oil go below 60, but it doesn't change the undersupply dynamics. So let's say in the event that oil got down to 40, if it got down in the 40s, it'd be a little scary, but we would be backing up the truck, right? We would be backing up the truck. I'd be buying everything that produced oil at that point. Why? Because it's only a matter of time. Again, the supply dynamics haven't shifted. And this, we want to get into this later, but this is really why, ironically, I love bonds right here. The theme to our portfolio right now is duration and inflation. Okay, and those are the two things I want you to remember, duration and inflation. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the interesting thing to me about commodities is everybody's sitting there thinking the market is binary right now. Well, you know, if the market's going to go up, we got to own tech, right? And if you think the market's going to go down, then you maybe want to own tech because it's still around this whole tech thing. I look at it, I couldn't disagree more, okay? I look at the move in gold. Gold has now broken the $2,000 level again. Oil surging up to 80, even despite we're watching right, recessionary indicators across the board lighting up. As a matter of fact, you now have another new record on the inversion between the 10-year yield and the 3-month yield. And tens and threes are the most important. That is the most bulletproof signal of recession when the tens and threes have inverted and stayed inverted for 30 days or more. Okay, and what that means is the interest on a three-month treasury is paying you more interest than you can make on a 10-year. When that happens for 30 days or more, you've had a recession within 12 to 16 months 100% of the time. That inversion happened a while ago. It's some point in the last six to, maybe it's the last 3 months. Anyway, it's happened at some point in the last several months. So, and not only has it happened, but it is the most drastic inversion on record for the tens and threes. Okay, so you're seeing every recessionary indicator lit up. All right, and I think again, we've talked about this before. I think most of us know that. Yeah, the recession's coming. The question is the severity, right? And I'll be, again, no doomsdayer, all that kind of stuff. I don't think we're looking at a Great Depression or a collapse. What I will say to you, though, is watching the way this is going, watching the way that things are falling already, looking at it, I just do think it's going to be nastier and longer than people think. That's my read on it. I could be wrong. Again, sky is not falling. It's not the start of another Great Depression. But I do think it's going to be a nastier period of time than most people are baking in. And that's what makes the move in oil and gold interesting to me. We'll have to see. But what I think is happening is I think the market's wrong. I don't think that it's, well, if the market's going to go up, you want to own tech. I think if the market goes up, you want to own gold, you want to own oil, you want to own commodities. Because I think what those commodities are starting to tell us is that they're starting to look ahead to the money that's going to have to be printed, the craziness that the Fed is going to have to do to deal with this current situation. Now, we'll see. I could be wrong. The other thing I want people to realize is gold is not this guaranteed safe haven. Gold lost 30% of its value in the financial crisis in 08, 09. Okay, so it could easily going to, you know, if you told me that gold is going to dive below 2000 and head back to 1600 before it makes new all-time highs, I don't find that hard to believe. At the same time, I think we're really close to the magic level on here. The previous all-time high on gold is 2050. You're at 2025, 2030 right now. If you break that all-time high, that's pretty stinking bullish. So, and I think gold might be starting to look forward to going, look at all the money the Fed's going to have to print to get us out of this. Could also be part of the resurgence in oil as well. So we want to really watch those things. But I think the market's way off sides. I think for 15 years it's been, well, if things go up, we want to be in tech. I disagree. I don't think they're going to get smoked like the big boys, you know, Apple, Microsoft, Google. I don't think they're going to get smoked. I just think that ship has sailed. I think where you need to be is natural resources and things of that nature. So, and like I said, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but duration and inflation, that is the theme. Okay. And as always, guys, if our risk manage approach, our building a portfolio that has substantially less downside risk and prevents you from the possibility of catastrophic loss while actually giving you more upside and all of that at lower fees than you're currently paying, if that sounds good to you, give me a ring. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And that's what you should be looking for, guys, right? Like, don't you want to know? Right? If what we're saying is correct and we are going into recession and things are going to get nasty, you don't want to have that conversation where you call your advisor and you're down 30 to 35% and he just tells you to stick with it. Again, what are you paying him for? Right? How about we try to prevent losing the 30 to 35%? Okay? And you don't have to just trust my magical brilliance to do it. It just comes down to portfolio construction. We don't have to take that much risk to actually do better to the upside, but also prevent the possibility of getting killed. Okay, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You know the drill. We'll be right back. Stick with us through the break. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
If you're retired or headed there, is your portfolio positioned for a successful retirement? Well, with the state of the economy right now, risk management has never been more important. Join Bulwark Capital's Zach Abraham for his free live webinar, March 23rd, to learn how their risk management strategy and active management of portfolios can actually lower their volatility. It is a free live webinar.
Todd, protecting retirement portfolios against loss is our number one focus. Our live webinar is a fully transparent look into the Bulwark investment strategy. We'll show you how it worked last year as well as in previous years and why a basic 60-40 stock bond mix is outdated and a big risk in today's economy. Learn how our risk management strategy can help protect your retirement.
Join Zach March 23rd at 3 p.m. Pacific time. It's free, but space is limited. Register now at knowyourriskradio.com and learn about Bulwark's risk management strategy and performance. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. All right, a little bit of a shorter, well, a lot shorter here, but it works out perfectly. I was telling you the theme is duration and inflation. Okay. Now, I'm not telling you this is going to absolutely work the best, but I just think it's a very good balanced approach in these markets. And it's a big theme playing out in our portfolios. Okay. You guys know my thoughts on bonds. I think rates have to go lower. And that means the value of those U.S. government bonds that we are buying will go up. And on top of that, we're making 4%, the most interest we've made since 2006. If you tell me that I can get 4% a year guaranteed with the potential of making 20 to 25% profit in the next 12 months, that sounds like a very – now, I'm not promising that, right? I'm saying that that, I think, is the setup you're looking at with bonds. If we are right and this is a recession and recession is coming, then the Fed will have to cut rates, right? We buy the bonds today. We lock in that 4%. As long as we own the bonds, we're going to make our 4%. But if we're right and the Fed's going to have to start cutting rates, those bonds go up in value. I just had a conversation with a client of mine this morning about some money. He just sold a business. He's got a pile of money. And he's like, Zach, what do you think? And I said, well, considering it's a pile of money that you've had for that long, I think, you know, we keep the stuff that's currently in your portfolio and we take that pile of money and stick it in a mix of government bonds. And I go, let's not take any risk with it. You just cashed in a big business. Let's sit back and collect 4% and see the way that this thing plays out. If it plays out like I think it will, great. That pile of money we got is going to generate, you know, 4% a year. If what we think happens, that pile of money is probably going to make 15 to 25% in profits by rates going down. Okay. Now, what's the risk to that? The risk is that I'm wrong and rates go up higher. What is the one way that rates will go up higher? Is if inflation reaccelerates and it's more persistent, right? That's why we own gold, oil, and natural gas and those other commodity type stuff on the other side of it. First of all, it's generationally cheap and it's paying us great dividends. Second of all, if rates go up and those bond holdings we hit or we own take a hit because of that, the inflationary stuff that we own on the other side of the portfolio, gold, natural gas, oil, all that kind of stuff, it should go ballistic. Right? So the theme of the portfolio, and that I think it needs to be, in my opinion, the theme of every portfolio is duration and inflation. You're going to keep hearing me pound that. And in my opinion, that should be the way portfolios are set up right now. Duration and inflation. If this happens, we win over here. If this happens, we win over here, right? We're got one. And then, you know, that means one side of the portfolio might get hit, but the other side of the portfolio should do well enough to make us still be going up in value. Right, on the overall portfolio. But most importantly, we got guardrails and protections on both sides of it. And we're making 4 to 5% on our money while we sit there and wait too. Right, that's how I want it set up. And if you're not set up that way, call us, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
We're talking with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Zach, I know you and Bulwark are laser focused on risk management. What is the biggest risk right now as you see it?
Ironically, bonds.
Really? Why?
Due to all the money printing from central banks in the long period of zero interest rates, some serious inflation has hit, I'm sure you're aware. And inflation crushes bonds. We've been talking about it for 7 years. If your portfolio has a significant portion in bonds, you may need a bond replacement strategy. You do need one. Get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, to learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy. This shows you how to protect your retirement against loss, but still get market gains. Our goal is the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
Call now for your free copy of Zach's new version of Common Sense Investing. Learn about Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. Okay, before we get started here, I want to do, I got to do something here. Well, I had my daughter at the radio, had my daughter at the office this week. And for those of you guys that know, I used to record the show in a radio studio prior to COVID, right? And then we since turned my office into somewhat of a recording studio. So you come into my office, if you're talking to me, a client, you come into my office, you're going to see our control board, our mix board, you know, right on my desk with a couple microphones set up. You know, we do it all right here. Well, my daughter was playing around with that mix thing and she found out. She found that it has the capability to do sound effects. So I didn't even know that. And I promised her, I've got a note now on it, use these in the radio show this week. So let's give her a round of applause. I hope you guys can hear that. I've never tried it before, but that's a round of applause. So baby girl, we got your sound effects into the show. But anyway, before we get started, a little PSA here. If you don't like hearing me go on rants, you might want to turn the dial right now, because I'm going to go on a rant. And if you hear me say anything about the people that I'm going to talk about, I don't mean it negatively. I don't mean it in a pejorative way. I'm not slamming them. I just have a very big belief that if you have a platform and you're going to go out and talk to people that do not do these kinds of things for a living, you need to make darn sure that what you're saying, to the best of your knowledge, is accurate. And to be fair to the people that I'm going to talk about, I think that they probably think that. The problem is that you can tell that none of them went out and got the other side of the story, right? So the imminent collapse of the dollar has become a very hot topic as of late. And if you guys have been listening to us for any extended period of time, you'll know that we've been talking about this for a long time. Which, by the way, in investing, guys, and this isn't me bragging at all, but this is me trying to lay out, if your money is being managed by the right people, or you want to be a good investor yourself, a good way to check, it doesn't guarantee you're doing the right thing, right? But a good way to check up on that is when these topics come up and finally hit the zeitgeist, right? Finally hit the news channels to where people are talking about it. As an investor, you should have been talking about that a long time before, right? Because you just know by the time it hits mainstream media, it's already been happening and it already should have been a focus. Right. And the dollar fits that perfectly right now. We've been having dollar debates now on the show for 4 or 5 years. Right. Why? Because we knew eventually this would be the issue. When you are printing money and that is your answer to every problem. Right. It's like the Fed is a hammer and everything in the world is a nail. Every problem they see, the printed money solution is going to be at the top of the stack. And if you don't know that by now, you're never going to know it. You're not paying attention. And I don't know what to tell you. So now it's like the zeitgeist has finally become aware of that, right? People are talking about it. And I have never heard so much nonsense in my life. Okay. And this is where I said, look, I know for a fact, when you approach topics like this, you're going to tick some people off. And honestly, so be it, because these are very important conversations. And like I said, you get this one wrong, it's going to be very hard to do well on the investment side of it. Okay. So the imminent collapse of the US dollar. I heard Glenn Beck talking about it, watched a video on it, talking about the debt and the spending and all these different kinds of things and how the dollar is going to collapse. Before I get into this, I actually think Tucker Carlson has probably had the best, most accurate stuff to say on this topic of mainstream media people. And the reason why is he is more focused on the political side of this. Okay, so in my opinion, the only real risk there is to the US dollar is the political side. And I think Tucker also hit the nail on the head, which is the risk to the political dollar is using it too much as a weapon. Because the way the US is currently doing this and the way they've thrown sanctions at Russia, it's kind of splashed cold water on the rest of the world's face. And you're seeing them set up contingency plans based on that, right? So where I think the U.S. needs to step back, I mean, for instance, look, I'm not a fan of Russia invading Ukraine, but let's not kid ourselves and act like this is, you know, they're trying to steal the sovereign land of Ukraine. Well, okay, but realistically, guys, that's been the sovereign land of Russia at one point too, right? And that land has changed hands quite a few times. Right. It's kind of like the Israeli-Palestinian debate. Right. The truth is very self-evident, regardless of which side you're on. Right. Both sides believe it's there. And that's my thing is saying, you know, who are we to step in and say it's this person's or that person's? Do I agree with what? But no, I think he's a thug. I think he's a criminal. Right. But to sit there and risk the supremacy of the U.S. dollar on it. And to pound Russia with sanctions, with unprecedented sanctions based on the fact that we don't agree with land that had belonged to them at one point anyway. I just think it's kind of the height of U.S. hubris. I'm not saying that Zelensky is a criminal. I'm not getting into all that. I'm just saying, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Vietnam thing, right? Like in terms of that's a domestic dispute. This dispute, you know, these types of things happening over there in Europe, now they've been happening for hundreds of years. So, you know, who are we to step up and go? Anyway, my whole point is I don't think it's deserving of the sanctions that we, you know, because the way we're doing it is, hey, we got the world reserve currency here and we're going to pound the living crud out of you if you do anything we don't agree with. Well, what you're eventually going to do is force people out of your currency, right? So, I don't want to make light of that. I think that what the current and look, to be fair, I don't think it's just the current administration. I mean, these are the most aggressive sanctions, but we've been using the dollar as a cudgel for a while. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that has now Venezuela has been horrifically mismanaged internally. But one of the things that has really added to the pain of that scenario is the sanctions on the U.S. dollar. This isn't new. And I'm not saying there aren't times where you should do it, but a regional conflict like that between in that kind of situation, you know, if this was Hitler rolling the tanks out and trying to take over Europe, well, then sure. Right. Because he's become a danger and an enemy to the entire world. But this is a regional conflict that goes, you know, again, that land has gone back and forth. I mean, it's kind of their business. And again, I don't want to say that I'm a peace guy. I don't like war, right? I've got nothing against Ukrainian people. I don't know. Look, there's a lot of things that look fishy, but I'm not a geopolitical expert. I don't know all these things. All I know is that when you're making political moves like this, in my opinion, you're just making a lot of huge logical leaps, and you're sitting there telling somebody else what they should do. When you don't understand their experience, it hasn't been yours. I just don't think it's our place. Okay, so the point of this is not to make a statement and tick people off about my stance on Ukraine. Again, I'm not anti. I'm probably right in the middle of that debate where I'm just like, look, I really just don't think that we should be involved for a whole lot of reasons. I just don't see the upside for being involved. I don't trust players on either side of the equation. I just don't. And I think there's good reason to not trust either side. And I think there's nothing but downside from getting too involved on either side. So, But that's the risk. Okay, now let's get to the other side of it. You're going to hear people say, look at all the money we're spending. Look at all the debt. And it's all true. You guys know if you've listened to the radio show, I'm not for this. I think our government is reckless. I think they've been reckless for a long time. I think that the state we're in financially in terms of debt and deficits, and I think it's insane. Okay, but you don't understand the way – well, I'm not saying you don't. But the guys like Glenn Beck that are out there talking about the collapse of the U.S. dollar, you don't understand how the system is made up. The system post-World War II was literally made up. And to Tucker Carlson's credit, and I'm not endorsing everything he says too. Please save me the emails. I'm talking about mainstream media people I've heard talking about this. And to Tucker Carlson's credit, he even brings this up, and he is right. It is the most accurate analysis I've heard on this talk. Now, there are several things I disagree with him about, but what I'm saying is his painting of the picture is the most accurate. Oh, China and Brazil are forming a currency union. That's the end of dollar hegemony. It's over. No, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Okay, and I think I should have built some credibility up because I was the guy going on the show. Pardon me. I was the guy coming on the show going into, and not just me, some guests we had on too. I'm not taking all this credit. Okay, but I'm saying in November 2021, when nobody was worried about this, or October of 2021, when nobody was worried about this and everybody was still stock market crazy, we were the ones saying, hey, couple things. We need to be getting out of tech. We need to get way more concentration and exposure to energy stocks and commodities and things like that. And also, we need to be aware of the dollar going up. And I took flack for that. People went, you're saying commodities are going to rally and the dollar's going up? And I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. They're like, that, you don't understand how it works. Well, what happened? Okay, last year, we had 40-year high inflation. We had simultaneously the dollar making a 23-year high. And we had energy stocks is probably the best performing sector in the market. Now, the reason I bring that up, guys, is not to brag. I've made plenty of mistakes. I'll go back to the COVID thing, right? Now, we didn't get hit during the COVID thing because we hedged up and were protected. Our average client portfolio during the COVID drop when the market was down 36.5% was down 5%. But what was the mistake that I made? I didn't think we were going to bounce back as hard as we did. Okay, so I just want to say, full disclosure, I'm not sitting up here going, I'm the guy that always gets it right. I don't. I've made bad calls. Okay, but the reason I point that out is, why did we get that one right? We got that one right simply because we understand the setup of the global monetary system, right? If the pressures that we were expecting to see, like soaring gas, it was going to drive the dollar up. Why? Because all of these people have to buy that stuff in US dollars. So if the price of oil doubles, they need more dollars. Right? That's what people don't understand. So when you sit there and tell me the price of the dollar is going to collapse because of all the debt and spending, I'm going to look at you and say this whole system was set up to enable us to spend and rack up as much debt as we want to without hitting our currency. Now, is it fair? No, but that's the way the system is set up. And why? I've said it before, I'll say it again. At the end of World War II, okay, and here, this helps you explain the whole setup of the monetary system. Okay, and this is the part where I want you guys to send, I'm not asking you to promote me. I'm saying send this to friends and family, especially the ones that are freaking out so they understand the context. Right? They're not just panicking, listening to all these charlatans talk about something they don't understand, and use the basis of who was calling the dollar breaking out at the same time we had high inflation and soaring commodities, which flies in the face of everything we know. Well, that doesn't make sense. It's also why we weren't pounding on the table to say buy gold, despite 40-year high inflation. Because we understand the way the monetary system is set up. So I've talked about it on the show before, but I want to break it down again. The reason the monetary system is set up the way it is because of World War I. Okay? World War I decimated the economies of European countries. Okay? And it was Germany's fault. And we came together at the end of it. We said, okay, Germany, you're the bad actor in this. We're going to take the entire cost of the war and we're going to levy it against your people. You need to pay us all back. Well, Germany had a devastated economy, bombs and tanks, right? It was just decimated. So there was a gentleman back then that ran the Reichsbank, which was the central bank of Germany at the time, by the name of Rudy Havenstein. And he really didn't have a choice. He had to start paying that debt back, right? So what did he do? He couldn't do it from taxes because he had a blown up economy. So they printed money. Okay? And that's what led to what we know as the Weimar Republic, the hyperinflation in Germany that happened during the 20s and created incredible social unrest that led to the election of Hitler, which led to the World War II disaster, which blew up the European economy again. Now, one of the smartest things I think has ever been done politically is, unlike today, we actually had some cerebral and intelligent people in all the important places, and they recognized the mistake they made in World War I, and they said, okay, we cannot do that again. It may be just, it may be the quote-unquote morally right thing to make, you know, Germany pay for the war, but that's what got us Hitler. So we need to find a new course of action. So the only real remaining standing guy, right, World War II trashed Japan, trashed Russia, trashed all of Europe, right? All of the significant economies in the world were thrashed except ours. Hence the Marshall Plan, us rebuilding Europe on the back of the US dollar. So what the idea that we came up with collectively, well, mostly the United States, was, okay, we are the only economy that's capable of coming in here and spending the money without killing our currency in the process. So we'll make you a deal. We will finance the building back of Europe. But in order to make sure it doesn't kill our currency, we're going to make the dollar the world reserve currency. And the way we'll do that is all cross-border transactions of commodities from one country to another must be settled in US dollars. So that immediately created a need for every central bank and every government in the world to own US dollars, regardless of whether we were racking up debt, regardless of the size of our deficits, because to fund their own economic growth, they had to do it in US dollars, which means they had to go out and sell their currency and buy US dollars, which put a constant bid and support level under our dollar. Okay? That system has been tweaked and kind of changed a little bit, but the majority of that system is still in place. And that's why I want to tell you, when you hear somebody talking about the imminent collapse of the US dollar, they don't understand the current monetary setup. The other thing they don't understand fundamentally, guys, is all currencies are valued against each other. So you can sit there and tell me all day long about the debts and deficits of the United States. But if every other currency is doing the same thing, even worse, which is the case, you know, people are like, well, the Chinese yuan's going to... Guys, all the reasons that you say the US dollar are going to collapse, China's got that times 10. Okay, Japan, their stock market hasn't gone up for 35 years. Yen ain't taken over. It's not big enough. The euro, you think we got problems? Go take a look at Europe. Here's the other thing I want you to consider. We're the only big economy democracy in the world that can internally fund all of our commodity needs. We are the largest food exporter in the world, and we are the largest energy exporter in the world. What does that mean? Doesn't mean that our dollar can't fall in price, but what it does mean is we can insulate ourselves and our economy from rising commodity prices like no other country in the world can. So when I say these things, it may sound like I'm endorsing the current political choices. I'm not. The current political choices are bringing in the one possible threat to dollar supremacy that exists. But it's not a failure through the you know, too much debt, the dollar will collapse. It's a political threat. They're overusing the cudgel, right? The stick and carrot approach, there's no carrot. It's just all stick. Okay, so the political side of it, there is that potential. But even that, I think, is overstated. Why do I think it's overstated? Because we've got massive leverage. If we don't want a certain country to join a currency union, or we think that them joining that new currency union could hurt us, all we have to do is say, okay, you can do whatever you want, but if you do that, you no longer have access to the US consumer. Bingo. Biggest economy in the world. They just got locked out of. Okay, so even Tucker Carlson isn't bringing that up. And I don't think it's because he's being disingenuous or lying. I just don't think that he's studied it thoroughly enough. But he's done the best. He talked about World War II, to his credit. He's got the setup better than anybody I've heard in the mainstream. Here's the other thing. If the U.S. dollar did drop 20 or 30%, let's say, you know what would happen? Emerging markets around the world would go ballistic, commodity prices would get cheap, and you'd see us repatriate more manufacturing back to the United States. People talk about we'd lose our world reserve currency status. That will eventually will happen. It's always happened. Right? And that would make things harder to us. But for those of you that like freedom and stuff, I also don't – look, and if we lost our world reserve status, it would create some really tough times without question. But it would also prevent – if we lost that status – and here's kind of the catch. If we lost that status – and our government actually started having to be fiscally responsible because they couldn't just rack up as much debt and have this constant bid under our currency. I think it may make things, you know, long term after we went through the pain, I think it might make things a little better. If we actually had to worry about the amounts of money that we spent, we wouldn't be able to be pushing all of this ESG nonsense. We wouldn't be able to be touring in military, you know, interactions all around the world because they're very expensive. So we'd get involved in less wars. We'd have to run tighter budgets here domestically. We'd have to quit funding uneconomical unicorn farms. So in the long run, it may not be the worst thing that ever happened. Would it be painful? Yes. Would it be something we couldn't come back from? No. Because again, we still have the biggest natural resources in the world all together. We're still the world's greatest food exporter. This is still great land, right? We got some of the greatest land in the world. We got idiots running it, but we got some of the greatest land in the world. But the threat, guys, this whole dollar's going to collapse imminently, run to the buy gold and so. Don't listen to those guys. You do that, you're going to get killed. I've been listening to people say that since I was born. And what didn't they understand? Yes, we're doing things that are irresponsible. Yes, we're racking up too much debt. But currencies are all valued against each other. If you're going to tell me the U.S. dollar is going to collapse, you need to tell me the currency that's in a better position to take its place. There ain't one. We're still the cleanest dirty shirt. And if you hear anybody saying any other than that, I'm not saying they're trying to. I'm not saying they're dishonest. What I'm saying is they're not educated. They don't understand the setup. Eventually, the dollar will fail. All fiat currencies have. But it ain't happening this year, and it ain't happening next year. And that goes right into the central bank digital currency that we've fielded so many questions about. Okay, I think it is somewhat inevitable. But my grandfather told me something when I was a little boy that I've always remembered, and he told it to me multiple times, which was grandson, or Zachary, he called me, Zachary, just because something is inevitable doesn't make it imminent. The reason I remember that is because my father repeated it to me many times as well, too. And it's something that has taught me a lot, right? Eventually can be a very long time. And you can go broke eventually, okay? So the answer is not to go out and buy a bunch of physical gold. It's just not, right? These one investment solutions are so attractive because it's one thing. It's one medication that fixes all the problems. It doesn't. And last year's should be a perfect example for you. You had the highest inflation we saw in 40 years, and gold was slightly negative in dollar terms. You know, so we can keep telling you this stuff, and people are going to believe what they want to believe. I'm just sitting there telling you. And, you know, and look, the other thing I know too, this isn't the best way to get client response. This isn't the best way to get listener response. The best way is to take the alarmist measure and, oh, you got to call us because you got to shield yourself from the falling dollar. I'm not going to do that, though. I believe in doing the right things, delivering the truth, and the business side of it will take care of itself. So I'm not calling those people losers. I'm not saying they're dishonest. I'm saying that they know about 20% of the story, and they're already trying to tell you how the story ends. And you look at them and go, you got to read the rest of the book, man. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think our government's I'm with you. But look at the other governments. What are the alternatives? And that's one of the things that makes gold attractive here. I'm not going to lie. Gold's a part of the portfolio for us right now. Right? Why? Because gold doesn't have any counterparty risk. Right? No country can print gold. Right? Same with oil. Same with nat gas. Can't print them. Same with copper, silver, you name it. So if you want the truth, guys, if you don't want to be invested in a meme or somebody's harebrained idea, and you want true risk management where we're not just talking, if you want to have, you know, if you want the kind of thought and investing process that went into saying, get out of bonds, get out of tech, get into energy, right? We see COVID coming, right? It's risk management. It's our process. And that's what your fee deserves. So call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. We got to run. We got two, hopefully, we got one great interview coming next week, guaranteed. Hopefully two. So stick with, and like I said, guys, please spread this word, right? Please keep people from taking all their money and sticking into a safe in gold. Share this thing, share, because you can go listen to what I said, shop it around, go research it. You'll see that I'm giving you the real scoop here. Okay. And we've also called these things correctly. These other people haven't. And it's not because we're so much smarter. It's just because we read the rest of the book. These guys opened the internal side of the dust cover and went, oh, I get it, and set the book down. You go, no, there's so much more you need to understand. So share this with family and friends. Keep people from making bad investment decisions. Anyway, happy Easter. Happy Good Friday. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
We're talking to Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Zach, what's the number one concern with people's investments right now?
Without a doubt, it's inflation, and it's here. With all the money printing from the Fed and long period of zero interest rates, the bills come and due, and inflation's going up. And when inflation rises, bonds get smoked. We've been saying it for years. If you're using bonds in the old school 60-40 mix with stocks as the safe portion of your portfolio, you're taking a risk in today's inflationary environment.
So what should our listeners do?
If you're worried about inflation, we believe that you should consider getting out of bonds and get educated with Bulwark's bond replacement strategy. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing. Learn how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still seek to grow your assets.
Call Zach now for your free copy of Common Sense Investing, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor.